Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
Oh, what is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Mike is not sitting next to Johnny today due to budget cuts, right? Times are tough here in Amazon land. The buy box isn't working properly. Johnny's having internet issues. So we got Max on. We had him on a couple weeks ago. You guys liked the episode we recorded with him. He does a lot of consignment type business in the Amazon land. So I figured it'd be a good episode to talk about exactly what's going on with the buy box, exactly our thought processes. He does a lot more than me and Johnny and a lot of other people in the group combined with his consignment business on Amazon, but we do sell the same types of things, the books, the CDs, the DVDs. So Max, welcome aboard. You can just jump into whatever you want to jump in. You're basically the king here, and I'm just going to tag along for the ride.
Okay, well, I have a very interesting opinion. I haven't talked too much about the buy box, and I've skirted away from discussion about it, but the three best things that have happened to my book business goes as follows. Number one, I started consignment. Number two, the first buy box issue. And number three, the second buy box issue. Definitively, they were changing to my business and they've had extreme positive effects on my business in the end. And it's not just because the sales went down, it's how you treat how it goes down and how you manage with it.
So give a little bit of insight on your monthly sales and your consignment business again for those that didn't watch the last episode.
Yeah, so last month I did about $83,000 in revenue, and when we last talked, I think I was at 60-something thousand, so it's a minor improvement, but it's continuing to grow, and I do fairly strong, and I currently host a consignment program, so if you're gated in media, or you don't even want to do Amazon and play the game or spend the time getting the buy box, I offer consignment. If you use Scoutly or you're able to objectively find valuable books, you can send it my way, or discs or media. Media is definitely a big focus. And send it my way, and I'll be able to consign it for you. I'll get it shipped out the next day, and I'll be able to send you a consignment report every week.
Do you think, I think the problem when things like this happen, Max, is like, I think the smaller sellers, like, get hit harder, right? To somebody like me or you, right? I'm doing, just under 20K a month. You got me 4X. But, like, I think it's tougher for the smaller part-time seller because maybe they need, the $200, $300 a month so they can continue to grow their business. So when something like this happens, I think it hits them harder. But I think it's what you said, right? You see it and there's nothing we can do to control it. There's nothing we can do to change, the current mess that exists on Amazon. So you only have two options, right? You either continue on or you quit. But the problem is, I think a lot of people fall into that middle ground where they're like, I'm not going to do nothing while this is happening. I'm just going to kind of exist. And like me and you were outsourcing today. I've been to a library sale this past week. Like we're still sourcing. We're still sending every single week. And it's just business as usual. But I think for the smaller person, I think it hits home a little bit harder.
I think one of the biggest issues is with part-time people, they're limited in one way. They're limited in time, most likely, or the ability to do more work. And a lot of times, it's hard to subscribe to a mindset of improvement during a hard time when you only have so much time to think about it and you don't have to see all the nuances of it. And I can tell you that every time that a buy box issue came down for me, I benefited immensely, mostly because I changed my mindset and I learned a lot of things during the buy box issues. If you just simply reframe that mindset that you have that everything is going away and instead frame it as an idea that you can improve your business so it's even more survivable even in the worst times. Because if you're surviving in the worst of times, then you'll be thriving in the best of times.
I thought about this too, right? My sales are down probably between 20 and 30% on a given day. I do sell lots of new like CDs and DVDs. So it doesn't affect the new items. It's only affecting the used items currently, right? So I thought about like, if my sales existed the way they were, would I keep doing this, right? Like, and I think for sure I would, because at the end of the day, even if my sales are down 20 or 30%, there's really no work. There's really no type of backbreaking work that goes into this business. We just scan stuff, slap a sticker on it, throw it in a box, and wash our hands of it. So, like, I feel like I would have to probably be down 50% for 3 to 6 months If and then I would probably pivot. Like, what would be your time for, like, give me your numbers. I kind of just threw that out there. I
Okay,
want you.
well, right now I'm probably down maybe 33% from where I was. And the thing about it is a majority of people, they continue growing and growing. And the biggest issue is they lay down the track work, but they don't really make firm it down. So they build all the new processes, but they don't tighten it, and they don't make their business more efficient and more functional. And as a result of that, I think what you need to do in order to survive, because I'd even continue on where I'm at right now because I'm still profitable.
Yeah.
And what you need, this is really the best opportunity to figure out where you need to tighten your processes. Where can you become more efficient? Where can you cut costs? And how do you operate better? And
I think
I can
about it
tell
this
you.
too, right? Like five, I'm basically doing between 5 and 10K in profit a month, right? Like just by myself. So like I don't work full-time hours. I'm not out here 40, 50 hours a week, maybe 20, 25 hours on a busy week, right? So like even if I'm pulling in that type of money and I'm still working 25 hours a week, but I'm still making way more than if I was working my shitty job at CVS.
Oh yeah, 100%. And with this focus on improvement, I can tell you that in the first time around, I tightened up my trigger set and I tightened up everything that I'd taken, the amount of risk that I take. And in the second roundabout, I was cutting costs, and I cut probably over $5,000 of unnecessary spending in the time of the buy box alone, all of which is sustainable for the future. So these times, of course, they're going to be rough, but there's tons of room for improvement in your business, whether you like it or not. Unless you've been doing this for 10 or 15 years, your business is not perfect by any means. And this is the perfect opportunity because if you're reducing your sourcing, well, what else are you going to spend with that time? Nothing? Or are you going to spend time improving that business so it's even more profitable and those profits carry over even when the times get better?
I'm just gonna watch Unsolved Mysteries all day, dude. Forget sourcing. I'm just gonna become the biggest bum out there.
That's a way to go about it. It's not the worst way to go about it. Getting your mind off of the whole buy box issue is a way out. There's two ways to go about it. You either three ways actually. You go and quit, which, if you're watching this right now, it's probably not your avenue that you're looking to go down. You can either focus on something else, so that'd be diversifying your business. As an Amazon or anything else, you can start another business in the meantime, or you can focus on this business and see how you can improve it better. And I chose that third option, and Mike's choosing the second option.
How long do you think this lasts? We're on what? Day 11, I think somebody said in the Discord.
Yeah, I think it started on the fourth, so
Do
I
you
think we're
think this is
10 or
permanent?
11
I
days
guess
in.
is the first question. Do you think this is permanent?
If the API updated on Scoutly to show it, then sure, but that's not the case. And we've seen precedent without any proof of change. It's the buy box has happened and had issues for two times already, and it's come back. One was, I think, 12 days, and one was 21 days ish. And there's no precedent, and there's no, I mean, this is the precedent that's been made, and there's no variance from that pattern that we've seen. Yeah, we've seen people go out and say this is permanent, but we did see that last time and the time before that as well. So,
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
to diagnose that issue and saying that this is going to be different from the other two times is very difficult to claim unless you have really substantial evidence showing otherwise.
And it doesn't exist because I've seen evidence that's 100% the opposite. Even if you go on Seller Central, and you can pull the featured offer and it says you're the featured offer, and then you go to the product page and you're not. So what Max is saying here, we can go and scan, right? We can still source. We scan the book, and it's still pulling the data as if it were, or as if it was before. So they're saying, hey, FBA, you're going to use buy box is going to the FBA offer at $17.99. So you can still sell this. But when you go to the actual product page for this book, it's going to the merchant for $2 plus $4 shipping. So I'm 100% on board that, I don't want to be the person to just be like, hey, like deal with it. But all the analytical data, like you said, we've experienced this twice before, and we're still getting the same. And it's literally just it's just happening again. The question is, how long does it last, right? Like, how long longer do you think? I'm putting this podcast out tonight, so as we are recording this right now, this will be going out in
Really?
2 hours. Yeah, so
Okay, so
I'm gonna
today's the
put you on the
14th.
spot. How long?
My bet 100% is going to be before Black Friday. I can't really, it's going to, my assumption is sometime in the next week or the week after, is my assumption. I'm hopeful, of course, but that's really how it goes. And does it really even matter at this point? That's a very important question to ask. And for all the people who sit in the despair of it's going to be permanent, would you rather believe the precedent of what's happened two times before or a Facebook post?
Facebook post, dude, 100%.
And if you're following the Facebook post, why haven't you quit already? You know? That Facebook post looks very credible. If you solely believe that Facebook post, you would not be in this industry right now. You would have packed up, you would have left, and you wouldn't even be in this field.
It's different. We have two different perspectives on the ideas of like how people interpret things, because everybody just heard how much money you're doing a month, the relationships, how quickly you built this business. And I get a lot of DMs from people saying, hey, like, Mike, what's going on? Like, I've even got reference that Facebook post, reference forum post. And I just try to tell people, like, don't believe, you might as well, like, yell out your window and just hope somebody gives you an answer. And I do think the problem that we have, and me and Johnny have talked about this endlessly, like, you're going to find the answer you're looking for, right? Sooner or later, if you keep looking, you're going to find the person that's going to tell you, yes, this is permanent. You better go get a job at McDonald's today, right? Or you're going to find somebody like Max who's like, all right, well, what are we doing during this downtime to make our processes better, to prepare for when this does return, that we can be making more money. And that's why we keep sending stuff, because guess what? When this does flip back on, if it ever does, right, we already have all the inventory sitting there. So our sales, we're going to know within an hour of this thing kicking back on that it's back on, just because the sheer amount of volume of inventory we have been sending.
I think the best advice that you can take in a situation like this where there's hard times is just simply to stay positive. If you subscribe to the negativity, then that's gonna manifest itself, and guess what? You'll be out of here. There's a lot worse of situations you can be in, 100%. I mean, just imagine the fact that there's arbitrage people in, let's say, video games where they're reliant on the buy box, and they're either over-leveraged, there's credit card debts that need to be due next month. And they're hundreds of thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars in debt. Or there's people who simply have an entire business that's collapsing at this point in time just because of the operation. This business model, as a result of that, is a lot better off. And the thought that it could be a lot worse is something that takes up a lot of space in my mind. And I think that's something very important that you need to focus on because in reality, it could be worse. Our sales could be down 60%. They could be down 70%. They could be down 95%. And we wouldn't be able to control anything, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet, or we won't be there. And we have the optimism of saying, well, guess what? We're not hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and we're not relying credit card payment to survive. And as a result of that, we have a lot more wiggle room, and we have the benefit of being able to send more in a time like this where it's hard, and you know, the pipeline continues through and money's still paying out like normal. And last time, what happened is that slowed down right when the buy box fixed itself. I think it was a little bit worse last time, the time before that, but we still have money coming through and we can completely bankroll the business because we make such a great return on investment on these inventory. And it's like, and the very important thing to think about is let's say you didn't have Amazon. You're still able to liquidate the books if they're inherently valuable. That $40 book on crystals, you'll still be able to sell on eBay, for example, for 25 or 30. So it's not like you're losing your investment. Hell, you'll make a profit on a lot of these books, even regardless of Amazon or not. So in the end, you're not really losing much by having a dip in sales for the time being.
I think one thing that you kind of hinted on there is like, they'll just be like, well, Amazon's not doing it, so I'm going to start up my eBay store again. And I just want to grab them and shake them, dude. I just want to be like, no, don't do that, right? Like, if we can't float 11 days of down 30% sales, like, what are we doing in our business? Honest, let's be real here. We're paying a dollar or less for this shit that we're selling. Like, if we can't stay afloat and have no money in the bank for 2 weeks, like, if you're literally living paycheck to paycheck with your Amazon money, you have a bigger financial problem in your life than worrying about Amazon. You need to have a full-time job and grow an Amazon business so where you don't have to be in that situation. If you're like, hey, I need this Amazon money every 2 weeks, or I'm out on the streets, I'm gonna tell you, go get a job, because you shouldn't be, oh, this is all I got. If I don't get my $2,000 from Amazon this month, I'm belly up. Like, that's no type of way. And we never recommend, going into debt for this business, or like just betting it all on black or red and just hoping that you just stay afloat and you continue to go dollar to dollar and dollar to dollar.
A very important thing that you have to see is this is hard times in any business, especially this one included, is really just the definer of who's actually staying and who's going. There's a lot of turnover in the reselling community, and this is definitely seen in issues like this. Your sales go down 30%. Guess what? 30% of
See?
sellers are going out.
See?
And as a result of that, there's going to be the benefit of less competition. And I know that it's very common to see there's a lot of idiots in the Amazon scene where they don't know how to properly reprice or properly manage, and they end up with a sales price of $9, $10. Not unless, of course, if their model's bulk, that's different. But they go through and they buy with the intention of this, and then they go and lose all their profits through stupid reasons. And it's those people who are really going to feel crushed. So, really, if you're in that avenue, you need to either get out or figure out how to correct your path that you're on.
It's a lot easier to quit, dude. And listen, we can't have everybody quit, because then nobody's going to give me their $2.99, right? And then I'm going to be bankrupt because I have no YouTube members. I do love the idea of diversifying your income. I made a YouTube video talking about that. I don't diversify my business models, but I do like having a diversified income stream where I have money coming in from other things. And I seen a post on Facebook. I think it was earlier today, or maybe it wasn't today, maybe it was yesterday. And somebody posted they were quitting because of this. And dude, there was like 20 replies. Everybody's like, yeah, me too. I'm quitting too. And I think to myself, just with Max things, like, anybody can do this. So like, these people probably only sent 10 books, 20, 30 books their whole life. Like, honestly, they never were going to treat it like a real business anyway. And I don't want to sit here and just kind of downplay everything. Like, it is shitty that Amazon doesn't say when they're doing this, why they're doing it. They kind of just leave us in the dark, but none of these platforms care about us. So it's just another thing where you have to prepare and have some money set aside for a rainy day fund.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And in that context, you need to keep a contingency plan at all times. Of course, I'm talking about a business where we've had good sales for 12 months of the year. Some businesses get away with maybe 2 good months of sales, and that's the huge advantage of this business model. And as a result of that, having 3 months off, let's say, worst case scenario, that's not terrible in the context of any business, really.
No.
And that's the risk that any business brings. But if there is permanent risk, yeah, there should always be a contingency plan in your business if anything goes awry.
Yeah.
Now, you can it's imp important to diversify, but that's of course into some things that are even passive, such as investing and other avenues that might be easier to do. Of course, you can focus on other business models and diversify, but you still lose out on specialization and you lose out on a lot of the returns because a majority of the returns is made in the final 2 hours of work that you do. So the additional 2 hours of work that you do that you wouldn't have done in any other work. So starting 2 hours in, let's say, online arbitrage or any other venture would cut out the most profitable 2 hours of your work as a books cherry picker. And that's the
Dude,
thing about it.
that I think people missed the one huge thing, because they didn't sell on Amazon when it happened. Restock limits, right? So you used to only be able to have 1,000 units from September to February or March. That's it, right? So like, I have roughly like 4,500, 5,000. You probably got what, like 20,000?
30,000.
30,000. So from September to February, we were not able to send one single item, right? That shit there, that is the stuff where you got to be like, okay, I got to front load everything. Like Max was saying, we get everything sent in, and then for those months, we can't do nothing about it. That was way worse than what this is. We can still make sales, we can still do shipments, we can still source new inventory, send it in. I think people that are thinking that this is the end of the world really haven't experienced what it's like to not be able to send a single thing for 6 months, which used to be a reality in Amazon 2 years ago. So maybe I'm kind of jaded in the fact that I've been back in those times where I couldn't send stuff for 5 months, and now I'm just like, hey, at least I can still send my box every single week, right? Or I could still send my box every 2 weeks, whatever that is. I think a lot of people really haven't experienced that, and a lot of new people just feel like, well, I think people always want it to be easier than it actually is, right? Like they see me and you, maybe they watch the videos, they listen to some podcasts, and it sounds so easy. But at the end of the day, you were outsourcing all day, working with some of your consignees. I'm doing a lot of shit behind the scenes, prepping 500 units a week by myself. There is work that goes into it, and I think it does kind of get spun up to be one of these get rich quick things, and it's the furthest thing from passive income that can exist on planet Earth.
100%. And I think the biggest source of complaint from this whole buy box issue is people who've never properly run a business before or managed any sort of operation, because if this is a very important, this can either be interpreted as the end of your business and you're not meant for business, or you take it as a lesson, because in any business there's going to be downtimes and there's going to be these big things that are uncontrollable, and whether you like it or not, something is going to be out of whack in your business, and for the time being it's Amazon's fault. Is it going to be permanent? Probably not. If it is, have a contingency plan. And the biggest source of backlash is just the people who don't know how to properly cope and manage with it.
So what's your time frame? Are you on board with me 3 to 6 months? Then we can start thinking about pivoting out of this if it stays the same.
Yeah, of course. I have, of course, I what I would do is I would downscale some operation, reduce some overhead, and then get to a point where it's relatively cheap for me to run the operation. That would probably be about 3 months in, but I'd still keep the operation running. That's the interesting difference about it, because a lot of people will just leave and they'll do whatever, but I'm going to keep the operation running because there's still money to be made.
Yes.
And although it's not passive, and yes, it's a lot of work, there is value delivered in fulfilled by Amazon. Don't tell me otherwise, because people want to get their books in 2 days, whether they like it or not. That's one of the biggest enticements, and that's still there. Just the fact that we don't have the same playing ground as a merchant fulfilled offer wouldn't make much of a difference, because, in fact, that would make buyers more aware over time to click towards the bot prime offer if it is
Yeah.
that desirable.
I wouldn't completely stop selling media. Like I would focus more on new media. I would still buy used ones. I like, the idea you said in the beginning, like tighten up the belt a little bit, make some changes in the business model, focus on higher sell-through items in the media land. I think this just exposes people that already have shitty businesses.
Yeah, and something very important is it's going to squeeze those people out. And better yet, there's other individuals who might be even fraudulent, even. They might post fake numbers. They'll refuse to post their last seven, but they'll have one screenshot that they rely on. And guess what? Those are the people that are going to be hurt the most in the end, because they rely on the weak people. And guess what? This entire business model is being weeded out. It's weeding out the weak people as a result of the uncontrollable. And that's what pushes anyone out of any business, and especially the people who rely on those weak people.
It sucks because there's a lot of people, we have a lot of people in the group that get frustrated with this, and I just try to backtrack them in and say, hey, we've seen this happen before. We have the proof that it will eventually come back. And I know it's hard, and I know, I don't have a problem. I always tell everybody to be cheap as possible, right? Like I'm the cheapest person on planet. We were talking before. I said I just got a new PC, and like you were like, mine's just 7 years old. I'm like, yeah, mine. I had you beat. Mine's older than 7 years. So it's like you can take a step back, and if we're getting things for $1 a piece, I think it's okay to like, if you don't have the capital. Then just pause for a little bit. And by pause, I don't mean completely stop. I still want you to send a box every single week. You still have to show Amazon you're dedicated to the game,
100%.
because if you stop sending stuff and you lose the buy box on your account and this comes back, then you're really screwed. Like that is like worst case scenario. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, will just completely turn off the spigot and then they're kind of screwed. They're up the creek without a paddle. And it's like, well, what am I going to do now? Well, I don't know what you're going to do now, honestly. You just got it. You're going to have to figure it out one way or another.
Yeah, it's really what's in the matter of your control. And You just decide what you're able to do. And the thing about it is you can be as expensive as you want in this business if your entire goal is to not make money.
I
If your
mean,
goal is to make money, then you should always be as cheap as possible. If you're being as expensive as possible, that just means you're cutting into your profits and you're lowering your profit number, and it defies logic. So therefore, even in any context, you should be as cheap as possible. And the very important thing about it is if you've survived a famine before, you're going to be very skimpy on food even in the best of times. And the same exact mindset should carry over. So if it's famine right now, but it's feast a month from now, you should still carry a famine mindset. You should always have food set aside, and that's how you should always approach it, even when something uncontrollable such as this happens.
it I'm gonna say this and people probably hate me for it, but I don't care. And Max already kind of harped on it, but like I go to these library sales and I see these idiots, right, scanning books, and I think to myself, the margins have gone down on books so significantly. Like, if this pushes some of those people out the door, and then so be it, right? Like, it's a dog eat dog world. I hope nobody listening to this fails in the Amazon land, right? Like, my whole YouTube channel is about you being successful. But if you decide to stop selling on Amazon and you're selling the same stuff as me, right? If Max goes away, right, that's 30,000 less listings I have to compete with if he's on. Like, does it suck? Am I sad for Max or sad for whoever it is that they kind of throw in the tail and really never see the fruits of selling on Amazon? 100%. But at the same time, I think to myself, like, that's one less person I have to deal with competing on some of these listings. And unfortunately, a lot of people that quit really don't understand the business. So they usually have the worst settings when it comes to repricing, and they don't know how to price their items, and they're tanking the listings worse than I do.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's a lot of idiots in the business. There's a lot of idiots in any business, really. And this is basically just the ultimate test. Are they idiot enough to survive, or are they gonna just quit, you know? Of course, it's, like you just said earlier, it's very easy to quit. And I mean, what's stopping you?
I
It's
think the
super
problem is
easy.
though, dude, it's too cheap. It's too cheap. So these people can drag these, like, you can drag an Amazon business out almost forever, like an eBay business, because it's just books and CDs and DVDs, right? They're like a dollar a piece. So it's like, if people can drag this thing out for years and years if they really wanted to, and a lot of people will, and they'll never be profitable. I'll tell you right now, I'm never FBMing, right? I'm never listing my own items. I'm never packing my. There's a lot easier ways in the world to make money than selling FBM on Amazon. So don't get any ideas that Mike's going to start filling his storage unit up with shelves and packing and listing orders. That shit ain't ever going to happen. You might have a different mindset, but I feel like you got enough other things in your life that you could generate income from.
Yeah, and that's the importance of having a plan to be diversified in the case that you need to. Diversification, of course, it can come in different ways. You can be literally diversified, spend 20 hours on this job, 20 hours on this other job, or you could spread it out as in saying, I have a plan to be diversified, and you have a lifeboat. Really, that's what diversification really should just mean. It's just a lifeboat in the case something were to happen, and it reduces your overall risk. But you shouldn't remove that extra profit that you can make that we talked about earlier.
So I need to know, why do you think Amazon changed the buy box? What's your conspiracy theory hill that you're going to stand on?
They very easily could be just fixing and correcting orders. The thing about it is, I've noticed that my payouts per day has gone up tremendously during the whole buy box thing. That means that more items are being closed out and more orders are being closed out and finished. And as a result of that's my hypothesis and belief that they're just correcting warehouse operations because they had restock limits, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And this could just, and maybe they decided that this is more profitable to restock limits, and this would be the alternative to restock limits. Let's just slow down the buy box for a minute. Let's just limit our fulfilled by Amazon operations for our used division. We aren't going to limit our new one because new is more profitable for us. And we put that at second rate, and we'll get our warehouses ahead. And it's more profitable for us than just completely cutting off and screwing over our sales in all of January.
Yeah, I think another thing too, a lot of booksellers and media sellers, like, we're selling used media. Like, Amazon don't want all your shit clogging up their warehouses, right? We're just a little speck on the huge map that's Amazon is. I think like, oh, Amazon started with books, so they really care about books. No, they don't. They want to sell the most expensive items, new items, get them out the door. You think they want their warehouses looking like my fake, background that I have here, where there's just tons and tons? Because we already said anybody can do this business. So how much shit is sitting at Amazon's warehouse that will never sell in the media category? We're talking millions and millions of items
100%.
that will never sell, and Amazon has to keep them in the corner and charge their sellers 5 cents a month, 20 cents a month, until they actually can get rid of them. And they can sit there forever. If you don't have your automated removal settings on, they'll just keep charging your card till the end of time. You can store a book in Amazon. Maybe we should do that as a test. Just like, maybe we'll send one book today, Max, and we'll just price it so ridiculous and just see how long it can sit there and how much we pay like 30 years from now.
I think there should be two different mindsets you have, because this is also in the context of fee raises and software API fee raises. And I think that there should be two different perspectives based off of what you said. I think, first off, you can think of Amazon as greedy scumbags. They're trying to take as much money as possible. There's validity to that. But I think there's another way you should think about it. I think having used books, used dusty books in their warehouse for them is inherently undesirable. So as a result of that, to deal with it, they have to ask more of a higher price to reduce the idiots who send in no rank books and all the books that are bad. So they make it more expensive, first off, to make them more money, but to remove the idiot books and the idiot booksellers from the scene. And as a result of that, only the strong will survive. And if you think of it that way, then it makes a lot more sense than them just being scummy, because they have to be doing it for a reason. They're running a business and they're trying to make record stock prices right now, and they wouldn't be able to do that if they didn't think about it reasonably. And they're just trying to run a business just like us, really.
Yeah, so what Max said to all you media sellers is that you are the reason this is happening, because you send this undesirable, crappy items to their warehouse, and they're tired of seeing your Nora Roberts on the shelf that you got listed for $49.99 that's never going to sell, and it's just taking up space. They don't want to be in the media game, and I don't blame them, dude. You don't want to deal with the headaches. You don't want to deal with the nastiness that comes in the warehouses. The stuff just sits on your shelf. Like, I would love to go to a warehouse and just see how they store all of their books and like what their process is, because I guarantee you they regret being so heavy in media nowadays compared to 5 years ago. It was probably nothing like it is now. Now it's just so many people have started this business and haven't gotten results, and their stuff still exists at Amazon's warehouse, and they don't know what the hell they're doing, because anybody can start an Amazon account today and send in their first box this week.
Like, I can tell you, even in the context of a smaller Amazon, my own consignment business, I get a lot of items that I'm not able to sell. And if I wanted to remove that, I'd either raise my fees to reduce the amount of people who come in, or I would just raise the bar in which needs to be good. And I think Amazon is just doing basically what I'm saying here. And while I don't do that, because I believe everyone should be able to maximize their dollars, Amazon doesn't like media as much. They're kind of. Media is a black sheep compared to the rest of Amazon. There's
Yeah.
not a lot of used categories. Think about it. The only used categories there are books, discs as in DVDs, CDs, cassette tapes, and video games. There's not used toys anymore.
Yeah.
And used is a category that's not really desirable by them. They make most of their money on new items, because new items, there's on paper less returns. And there's less returns sent in, because if you get a new item returned, you can't really sell it new again. So you're only getting the top of the line, and you're also getting larger companies, because only larger operations sell new, with the exception of new DVDs or other media. And as a result of that, you need more money and you need a stronger business. So as a result of that, Amazon might think this whole division is weaker because there's a lot of weaker people in the business who might not operate a business as well, or might not have operated a business at all.
I got a crazy take, and I'm curious if you agree or disagree with me. I think they will get rid of the used media category before they keep the buy box going to merchant fulfilled forever.
Yep, I fully agree with you on that. I mean, right now, I think used is a good punching bag. The used category inherently is a good punching bag for Amazon to do whatever they want with. If they want to get their items in order, let's just slow down used. used as basically an extracurricular to their entire operation at this point. And right now, if you look at corporate Amazon, they're trying to go into higher end stuff. They're trying to go into, they partnered with Saks Fifth Avenue. They partnered with higher end companies, and they're partnering with AI companies because they want to sell stuff with a higher average sales price. And guess what media is doing? Guess what specifically used media is doing? They're going down $9, $10, $5. So they can use it as a punching bag. And if they get rid of that, then they're not going to have anything to slow down. What are they going to do? Slow down a whole category? They're not doing that. That would be nonsensical to them. They aren't just going to slow down their entire car parts sales division just because they do that, because that's a whole division of their company. Let's just give a subsect of a whole category. And this is the only real category which they can do that with.
And it's weird to say this, but it's true. Like, you got me thinking about this. Like, they don't want to deal with the used stuff, and that's why the fees go up, and that's why they have to charge $6, $7, minimum in fees for these used products, these used books. In some cases, the fees on a book, depending if it's a hardback, right, it's going to be $10. I think they look at their overall business from the lowest performing shit, which is a used hardback book that is this thick and weighs, 3 pounds. Well, what is the worst case scenario if we have to go remove this, or we have to pack this and ship it to a customer, right? So, like, it's almost as if the used category determines how much they're going to charge in fees across the board, because they have so much of this junk sitting here, and this is the most lowest value crap that they're selling. So they need to go based off of, if worst case scenario, if this is all we are selling, then how can we still sustain our business?
Yep. A mindset used by a lot of executives is to look at the weakest link and figure out what you can do from there. And it's the same thing with team management. If you have a team or a set of employees, you're going to look at the weakest employee because, in the end, if it's a chain operation, one, two, three, four, five, six, each employee does a different thing, then they're only going to go as fast as the weakest person. And in the context of media, that's going to be very common for the fact that media definitely carries not a lot, and they only make money when. They make more money on the higher dollar stuff than the lower dollar stuff. That's undeniable. And they do make more money per hour with it. Because think about it, if you sell a $400 book and you get $350, they made a $25 placement fee just because, or referral fee technically, just because they referred the item. So that's $25 for basically having Amazon. Compared that to a DVD that you sell for $5, they get 15 cents for having Amazon up. And if I was Jeff Bezos, I'd wipe out the used media division first. If I had to get rid of a division and the country was going into a recession and I needed a strict budget cut, that's what would be cut. That would be what would be cut first.
Max wants you to consign with him. All the information is down below. But if he gets hired at Amazon, we're all screwed because we're first on the chopping
I
block.
mean, if you give me something else to cut first, then I'll take it into consideration, but with everything we know about media, it's the black sheep of Amazon, really.
Yeah, dude. $12 and like 20 cents in fees to sell this book at $18.60. One book, they have to charge $12 because it's such a headache for them to pack, ship, provide the customer service. And I think another thing with the used category, why I stand on the idea that they would just get rid of the used category altogether before this sticking, is the process they have to do if a customer returns a used item, right? Because they have to pay somebody to sit there and say, is this used good condition, or used very good, like new? Whatever you people put in your used condition notes, they have to pay somebody to sit there and make a determination if they can resell this book at the condition that's listed, right? So in the new category, you can see whether it's new, right? Like, it's going to take you half a second to determine whether or not the DVD is still shrink wrapped, or the toy, or the Lego set is still, sealed from the manufacturer. Versus the used category, man, I can't imagine the backlog. And you couldn't pay me any money in the world to sit there for an 8-hour sh shift and process used media returns and make the decision whether or not they're still sellable, because they have way too many conditions. They got acceptable, good, very good, like new, right? Is that all of them, right?
Very good. Yep. Yeah, that would
Yeah,
be.
four different ones. So they have to train somebody to be able to tell what the difference is. And there's really not much difference in the condition. Like, categories on Amazon, like, you could sell a book in good condition technically without a dust jacket. Like you could literally
Yep.
sell this in good condition based on Amazon's condition, criteria.
And the thing about it is, if you take that perspective and continue it, the weakest link, right? Let's think about the worst case possible scenario for the grade and resale program. Let's say you have an employee and it costs maybe $100 of time to train them, to get them to understand all the different conditions and whatever, right? On top of that extra $100 that you have to do towards this use category, let's say we get a box of returns in. Let's say 200 returns and they're all $8 DVDs. Let's say conservatively you spend 30 seconds grading each item, right? And let's say that that creates what, maybe 50 cents of value for each of it. That's maybe what? So that's 120, cut that in half. That's $60 an hour of value. For value that they might not even get because they're not earning any money off of grading the returns, really. They aren't earning any fees. So 60, imagine dollars for the seller. So they're basically losing whatever the wage is on top of the $100 that they spent to train them for really a pointless operation. And it would be a lot easier if it was higher dollar and they could regrade and resell it. Because you know those items that are all $8, they're gonna get liquidated out anyways. Unless they're really fast moving. And if it's really high dollar stuff, then the value would actually be made, but really it's just lost value. And they're not making a lot of money off of regrade for media. And they don't make a lot of money in general. It's a lot of volume that's required. And Amazon's moving in a direction that the exact opposite, where they're trying to reduce their volume and get higher dollar per.
I agree wholeheartedly. I'm going to give my final thoughts and then I'm going to let you have your final thoughts after mine. I think, it's business as usual for me. I gave you all the runway 3 to 6 months. So I think this is permanent, no chance. If it turns out to be permanent, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I don't make business decisions just on a, flip of a switch, whatever it may be, whatever the hell is going on. I do think there's still great opportunity. I still think it's a great time to start on Amazon. I'm not saying that just to get your $2.99, right? Like I do genuinely believe that, there's not many businesses in the world where you can slap a sticker on something, throw it in a box and kind of forget about it. But I do think after this, there will be something else. And after that, there will be something else. And all I can do is tell you all to, have an emergency fund for your business and be willing to, if the time does come and we can't sell used books, CDs, DVDs anymore, think about something else that's going to make sense. But we're not doing that anytime right now or in the near future. Max, give your final thoughts on this whole situation.
Okay, my thoughts are this. So, over time, it's gotten harder to become an Amazon seller. There's been more gates, there's been more issues, and something that's also very common is if you stop selling entirely, all that progress that you've made, let's say you've been a seller since 2017, is all gone. So, if you want to maintain the reduced barriers of entry and benefits of being an older seller, you need to continue selling. And if you're a newer seller, now is the best time to consign if you don't want to go through that work and the rising gates and issues that follow. If you want to save time, you can consign and send out to me or Johnny, and you can reduce that issue of having to deal with all this stuff, and you could skip this entire podcast, really. So if you want to make your business easier, you can consign with me, or if you're an older seller, just continue on with usual and figure out what's the easiest for you and what gives you the most value per your time. And the ways that I just outlined above is definitely, in my opinion, the best ways.
We have to make sure Max doesn't get hired at Amazon. All right. So, everybody keep your eye out. You see him driving around a fulfillment center or Amazon headquarters. Don't let him go in. All right. He's gonna terminate us all.
There was an AI picture of me in the Discord with me and Jeff Bezos on a yacht together.
Oh yeah.
And it's already in progress. If you see my name, by the way, if you want to look at my consignment, search up my name, MaxGAM, on Facebook. You can reach out to me there, or in Mike's Discord server. Go to the very bottom, Max Gated Items, and I have a whole facts page. But if you see my name on the executive roster and me talking at a shareholder meeting, know that you're next.
Yeah, and then I'll bring him on the podcast and I'll lie to our face and say, I'm not getting rid of the used category.
I'm
And
not
we'll
getting rid
be
of the use category, and I need editorial rights over this podcast.
like, yeah. But yeah, all of Max's consignment information, that'll all be down below. I appreciate him coming on, spending his time with me. This was short notice, so it always good to have, see somebody that's he's doing over 4x what I'm doing, right? Like So it's not just me being stubborn and saying keep doing what you're doing. It's all the huge players. They keep pushing on, right? You have to be 11 days, right? 11 days is nothing, dude. That's not even, don't people take vacations? If you take a 2 week vacation, that's longer than 11 days and you haven't done nothing in the business, right? So like I think people are I think the Amazon media selling space is absolutely crazy. Everybody wants to quit yesterday. And I think when things like this happen, it's just like, all right, I'm out of here. So as always, we appreciate you listening, watching over on YouTube, and we'll talk to y'all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.